Well, after completing the Japa conference, so today's class will be given by Her Grace Mataji, Kala Sudha Mataji, on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 24, and verse number 40 onwards. Hare Krishna Mataji, are you present on the topic? Thank you very much, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you, Hare Krishna Mataji. Please, thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Komodity Mataji. And I beg for forgiveness for the delay in joining in. Actually, some devotees were here and they were just leaving from home now, so sorry for the delay. So sorry.
Thank you, Mataji. You are very, very welcome. That's all right. Hare Krishna.
Okay, so we'll start.
Yes.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24, entitled Explanations of the Atmaram Verse, text 40 through 50. Text 40. Shastra Jukti Nahiha, Siddhanta Vichar, Esha Bhava Gune Jate, Madhurje Roshar. When one is attracted to Krishna on the transcendental platform, there is no longer any logical argument on the basis of revealed scripture, nor are there considerations of such conclusions. This is his transcendental quality that is the essence of all transcendental sweetness. Text 41. The word guna means quality. The qualities of Krishna are transcendentally situated and are unlimited in quantity. All of the spiritual qualities are full of transcendental bliss. Text 42. Krishna's transcendental qualities of opulence, sweetness, and mercy are perfect and full. As far as Krishna's affectionate leaning towards his devotees is concerned, he is so magnanimous that he can give himself to his devotees. Text 43. Krishna has unlimited qualities. The devotees are attracted by his uncommon beauty, mellows, and fragrance. Thus, they are differently situated in the different transcendental mellows. Therefore, Krishna is called all-attractive. Text 44. The minds of the four boy sages, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar, were attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna by the aroma of the tulasi that had been offered to the Lord. Text 45. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulasi leaves and saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead entered through the nostrils into the hearts of those sages, the Kumaras, they experienced a change in both body and mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Text 46. Shukadeva's mind was carried away by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Text 47. Shukadeva Goswami addressed Parikshit Maharaj, "My dear king, although I was fully situated in the transcendental position, I was nonetheless attracted to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. Therefore, I studied Srimad Bhagavatam from my father." Text 48. "I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Shukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadev and the destroyer of all sinful reactions. Being full in self-realization and bliss, he had no material desire. still he was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And out of compassion for the people, he described the transcendental historical literature called Srimad Bhagavatam. This is compared to the light of the Absolute Truth. Text 49, Lord Sri Krishna attracts the minds of all the gopis with his beautiful transcendental bodily features. Text 50, Dear Krishna, we have simply surrendered ourselves as your maid servants, for we have seen your beautiful face decorated with tresses of your hair, your earrings falling upon your cheeks, the nectar of your lips and the beauty of your smile. Indeed, because we have also been embraced by your arms, which gives us courage, and seen your chest, which is beautiful and broad, we have surrendered ourselves. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swaminiti Namine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine. Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayane Gorakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatharina. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. These wonderful verses that we read today very beautifully describing the beauty, the opulences of Krishna. Here, starting from text 40 onwards, the qualities, the opulences, and the transcendental position of Krishna is being described. It's sometimes, for us to really fathom the transcendental qualities of Krishna becomes very impossible. But because we have very nice, purport by Srila Prabhupada, we have the scriptures in front of us, that is the reason why somehow or the other we are able to understand, even try to understand the glories of Krishna. Text 40 here is stating that when one is attracted to Krishna on the transcendental platform, there is no longer any logical argument on the basis of Vedic revealed scriptures, nor are there considerations of such conclusions. Means, what does this mean? This simply means that a devotee, when they get attracted to the transcendental qualities of Krishna, that there is no need for, all the imports of Vedic knowledge is automatically revealed to them in their heart. That is what this means. That Krishna, from within, he reveals everything that is there to be known is revealed to them. In Mayapur, there was one devotee who was, a very, very beautiful, speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He would give amazing classes. And it was a surprise for us to find out that he's actually illiterate. He cannot read or write. But, words from his mouth would flow out as if, pearls coming out, like flowers coming out. So beautifully he would narrate the Shastra. But he's actually not, literate also. So simply by hearing and simply by having faith in the lotus feet of Krishna and the lotus feet of the spiritual master, one can develop such amazing qualities that, we really, it sometimes is very, like how it is said here, the logical argument can be completely defeated. There is no logic in how we can understand it, but it is because it is based on faith, nothing else other than that. So this is the transcendental quality that is the essence of all transcendental sweetness. The rasa that we get while chanting, the sweetness of mellows that we get while chanting. You know, when we chant, sometimes we get attracted to some new songs sometimes. I know as a child, I used to be attracted to so many different kinds of songs. But those songs, I mean, even till today, anybody who are, you know, big fans of many, many songs, they will be witness to this statement that nothing stays fresh for them forever. They might like a song, they might hear a song, maybe even 24 hours a day, maybe even 48 hours, maybe the next day, but after that it would get boring, it would get repetitive, and they would give up. They would have to give up. So what is there in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that makes us keep going again and again and again and yet again for years and years, for lifetimes and lifetimes together? What is the sweetness that is there? What is the specialty that is there in Krishna's holy names? It's completely transcendental. It is transcendental sound vibrations. 41 is explaining that the word guna means quality. The qualities of Krishna are transcendentally situated and are unlimited in quantity. All of the spiritual qualities are full of transcendental bliss. So full of transcendental bliss, that Krishna's qualities, they are first of all unlimited. That we have discussed this time and again, that how even Ananta Shesh is not able to fathom and complete the, you know, singing about the glories of Krishna. That he is going on and on and on, and yet it's not finishing. Because Krishna's qualities and his pastimes are never ending. As soon as Ananta Shesh thinks that he's finished, Krishna does a few more. And then he keeps repeating that, then Krishna does more. Krishna keeps doing. He is performing pastimes eternally, and Ananta Shesh is going on repeating those pastimes eternally. So Krishna's pastimes are never ending. They are unlimited. So they are unlimited in quantity. And all of the spiritual qualities are full and complete in transcendental bliss. So when we are seeking shelter of Krishna, we should know that this is the quality that actually attracts us. And the reason is very simple, that why are we actually attracted to Krishna? Why, when we chant the holy name, why do we feel the happiness? Why do we feel a certain sense of belonging or a certain sense of, you know, family with devotees whom we are meeting for the first time? Why do we feel like that? It is because the soul recognizes. That is the quality of our own natures. That we want to, you know, be situated in our own original constitutional position, and that is what we are. That is who we are in connection to Krishna. And that is why the soul recognizes, and that is why we feel completely at home at that time when we are associating with devotees, when we are, you know, deriving bliss and happiness in the service of the devotees, because we are completely at home. That's when we feel real inner satisfaction and bliss. Krishna's transcendental qualities of opulence, sweetness, and mercy are perfect and full. Text 42 is explaining. As far as Krishna's affectionate leaning toward his devotees is concerned, he is so magnanimous that he can give himself to his devotees. Very powerful statement here. Just yesterday, I was discussing with Indu. She was here with us. There was a beautiful, ecstatic time that we spent together. And I was discussing with her about this very quality of Krishna. And I'll share exactly what we were talking about. That this this Krishna's special affection that he has towards his devotees. Krishna declares very boldly in the Bhagavad Gita that I am impartial. You know, that I am Samoham Sarvabhutesha, that I am equal to all living entities. But, there is a but. But, those who are always surrendered to me, those who always think of me within themselves, I specially favor them. And Krishna is not even one time hesitating to say that I will favor my devotees. There's no doubt about that. There's no question about it. And it is my adhikar. It is my right that I will be favorable to my devotees. And what does it mean by samoham sarva bhuteshu? That I'm not, you know, I'm not partial to anyone or I'm equivalent to everyone. What does that mean? That means that Krishna is supplying the basic necessities of life. He, just because some person is not recognizing the presence of Krishna in their own lives, it does not mean that Krishna takes away the supply of air, the supply of water from them. He does not do that. Their ability to breathe. If Krishna wants, he is the supreme controller. He is controlling everything. So if Krishna wants, within a second, he can take away everything. But he does not do that. Krishna doesn't have any ill feeling towards any living entity. That I have, you know, taken so much trouble. Krishna could think that I have taken so much trouble. I have given the Bhagavad Gita knowledge to Arjuna, and Bhagavad Gita is there for everybody to follow. Why is nobody following the Bhagavad Gita? I have said in the Bhagavad Gita, such clear instructions are given, sarva dharman parityajya, mam ekam sharanam vraja. Nobody is listening to me. What is this? I am angry with everybody. So from today, all electricity stop, all air supply stop, water supply stop, breathing stop, everything stop. Krishna, if he wants, he can think like that. But he does not. Krishna does not have even an iota of ill feeling towards any of us, any living entity. Whether that living entity is choosing to recognize Krishna's presence in their life or they are not. So that is Krishna's nature of Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, that he is equal to everyone. But Krishna says that those who are doing something extra for me, little bit if they are doing something extra, then if they are coming one step towards me, then I will come 10 steps towards them. And my step, one step is like Vamanadeva's step. It is capable of conquering one entire planetary system. Heavenly planets gone in one step. The Bhuloka gone in one step. That is Krishna's step. So 10 steps like that, Krishna comes ahead to help his devotees, to favor his devotees. That is Krishna. And Krishna is partial like that. And he boldly declares that. That he is Prem Parayan. That he is having a favorable attitude towards his loving devotees. If the devotee is loving him, he will love them back. And he will defy all kinds of laws for making the word of his devotee come true. He will take care of it. How much, you know, Krishna went against the rules just to fulfill the words of his devotees. The life of the Pandavas. You know, Bhima, he had, you know, made a promise to himself when Mother Draupadi was insulted in the Kuru assembly. At that time, Bhima had made a promise to himself that I am going, because Duryodhana had patted his thigh and he had said that, you know, he had motioned Draupadi to come and sit on his thigh. And Duryodhana had said that I'm going to break your thigh. He had promised himself. He had taken a swear that I'm going to break the thighs of Duryodhana. So Bhima, he is the famous, you know, wielder of the club, the Gada. So in Gada Yudh, when the Gada is fought, there are certain rules of Gada fighting that the Gada has to be, you know, the attacking has to be done only above the navel. It cannot be done anywhere else on the body. Definitely not on the legs and definitely not on the thighs. That is one of the rules of Gada fighting. But Krishna, he told Bhima Sena that you defy this rule. No problem. You defy it. Because Duryodhana's body had actually become, you know, Vajra. Because Gandhari, Mother Gandhari, she was so attached to her son, and her son came to her that please give me the benediction of Vijay Bhava, that may I become victorious. And Mother Gandhari said, no, I will not do that. Although you are my son, I will still not give you that. But then I can do something. And Duryodhana was actually cursing his mother that you are my mother and you're still not giving me any, you know, victory boon. What are you? So then Mother Gandhari said, see, I have the power of my tapasya. So what I would request you to do is come to me, come and stand in front of me, go take bath in the river, and come and stand in front of me just as the way you were born. Come and stand in front of me like that. So Duryodhana said, okay, I will do that. So Duryodhana was coming. You know, he took a bath in the river and he was coming out of the river, and it was late in the evening, and he was coming towards Mother Gandhari's tent. And Krishna knew this, that Duryodhana is going and Mother Gandhari is going to open her, you know, blindfold, and her tapasya, the power of her tapasya is so much that if she looks with her, you know, austere vision, when she opens her eyes and looks towards Duryodhana, that his body will become of iron. Then how will Bhima fulfill his promise? So what did Krishna do? Krishna came to Duryodhana when he was walking like that. Krishna came to Duryodhana and said, Duryodhana, oh, why are you going like this in front? Where are you going? And then Duryodhana immediately, you know, felt very embarrassed. And he said, well, my mother has told me to come to her in this way, that, you know, the way I was born, so that's why I'm going without any clothes. I'm going because my mother told me to come like this in front of her. So then Krishna said, my dear Duryodhana, I knew that you are very less intelligent, but I can't understand how much less intelligent you are. You are now a grown man, you are not a baby. So how you can go the way you were born in front of your mother? You cannot go like this. You're a grown man. So it's not proper for you to go like this. You should at least cover your private part. Go like that. Duryodhana said, yeah, yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Even I'm feeling very odd, very embarrassed. Thank you, oh, Krishna. Thank you for telling me. So then Krishna smiled and he left from there. So then Duryodhana, he covered himself up, you know, like just from his waist down with banana leaves. And he came in front of Mother Gandhari. And Mother Gandhari said, okay, come and stand in front of me. And she opened her blindfold and she opened her vision. And through her vision, she saw and she made the entire body of Duryodhana, except for his waist downwards till his knee, which was covered in banana leaves. The entire body became of iron. And then when she, you know, actually saw him, she said, why did you cover yourself with banana leaves? Then if you would have listened to what I said, then today you would have become immortal. But you did not listen to me. And you have now, you know, given the victory to the Pandavas. What can I do? I tried my best. But Duryodhana said, don't worry, mother. I am going to have anyways with Bhima. I'll have the Gada Yudh. So in Gada, you, the rule is that he cannot attack me below my waist. So let him come. I will take care of it. Then the Gada Yudh started, and we all know how Krishna reminded Bhima. In between the fight, he reminded Bhima about his promise that attack him over there on his thigh. Just to fulfill this one promise that Bhima made for himself. He did not declare it to the whole world also. But Bhima had just made this promise to himself that he's going to destroy the thighs of Duryodhana. So Krishna reminded him, and Duryodhana was attacked by Bhimasena, you know, hitting on his thigh. And that's how he killed Duryodhana. So Krishna will not be afraid to defy any kind of rules. In Bhagavad Gita, he says, of all cheaters, I am the greatest cheat. So for Krishna, there's nothing called that he is cheating. Because he is the absolute truth. He is the absolute supreme personality of Godhead. Even in his cheating, that is worshipable. Because he is cheating so that his devotees can become glorious. That is Krishna. That is how partial Krishna is towards his devotees. That Krishna can go to any extent to fulfill the words of his devotees. That is how dear the devotees are to Krishna. And that is how dear everyone can become to Krishna. And Krishna only wants love. He wants nothing else other than love. And the fact that I was just saying that how we feel so much connection with devotees, actually, I'm sorry, I'm going to again, I'm not meaning to embarrass this wonderful family that was here, but especially with Indu, I've been having a very, close relationship over phone. But this was the first time we were meeting. And we met with, her wonderful husband, Sudhir Prabhu, and their beautiful son, Pranav. He's so talented. He's so amazing. And the entire family is so, so good. Sudhir Prabhu is a gem of a person. Really nice family. And although we were meeting for the first time, we connected as if, we know each other for all eternity. And that is the beauty of Vaishnava relationships. That's how we feel when we associate with devotees. That, we feel that we are connected with each other eternally. Because our connection is that we have recognized Krishna in that relationship. And Krishna reminds us of our eternal connection with each other, with Him in the center, with Krishna in the center. That is the beauty of Vaishnava relationships. And this is how, Krishna is. He is so premparayan. He will be so partial to his devotees, not caring for any rules and regulations, not caring and violating all kinds of laws. He will care for his devotees. That is Krishna. Whereas if you see the qualities of Lord Ramachandra, he is Niyam Parayan. He is the one who favors the following of rules and regulations. He himself never violated any rules. And although he knew that Mother Sita is not at fault, but because he is Maryada Purushottam, he came to show how an ideal king must be, that an ideal king does not put his family in front of his kingdom. His citizens are like his children. He treats his citizens like his own children. So he keeps his citizens as priority than his own family. So Lord Ram was there to teach this particular rule of how to have a proper Ram Rajya, a proper execution of all kinds of duties, follow the rules and regulations. And therefore he did not, although Lord Ramachandra knew very well about the chastity of Mother Sita and her love for him, his love for her was unquestionable, but still, because of the citizens, he had to let her go. That is Lord Ramachandra. He is the follower and the abider of rules and regulations. And Krishna, as we just discussed, he is Premparayan. Lord Ramachandra is Niyamparayan. Lord Krishna is Premparayan. And it is said that Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he is Kripaparayan. Kripaparayan means, even though, Krishna is saying, you surrender to me, then I'll take care. Mahaprabhu is saying, no, you don't have to surrender and all that. You just ask me for the holy name, just beg for the holy name, and I'll give it to you. That is Lord Chaitanya's condition. So he's so merciful, Kripa Parayan, that Mahaprabhu is not having any expectations from us. All he's saying is just ask for the holy name. Hori Namo Mahamantra Lao Tumi Mangi. That just ask for the holy name and I'll give it to you. So who's more merciful? Who's more Kripa Parayan than Mahaprabhu? It is Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is not even waiting for people to ask. In fact, people are coming and hitting Lord Nityananda. Blood is oozing from his forehead. And still Lord Nityananda is saying, please take the holy name. Please take the holy name. Chant Hare Krishna. That is Nitai. That is the most merciful nature of Lord Nityananda. And Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Vargas are distributing that kripa coming from Lord Nityananda. Nitai kripa pradayine. They're giving that mercy without us even asking for it, without us having any kind of qualification for receiving the holy name. They are just giving it to us. That is the mercy. That is why it is called causeless mercy. We are all recipients of causeless mercy. We don't deserve it. Mercy is anyways given to someone who is not deserving. That is mercy. But causeless mercy means there's no reason. Without any qualification, without any kind of anything, Mahaprabhu is just giving this mercy. Our Guru Vargas are just giving out the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. So we'll move on to the text 44, where it's saying that the minds of the four boy sages, Sanat, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumaras, were attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna by the aroma of the tulasi that had been offered to the Lord. The next verse is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is verifying this particular statement, where it is saying that when the breeze carrying the aroma of tulasi leaves and saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead entered through the nostrils into the hearts of those sages, the Kumaras, they experienced a change in both body and mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. That how the four Kumaras became so attracted to Krishna when they entered Vaikuntha. And this is one of my most favorite pictures. I'll try to share it in the group after the class. But this is my very, very favorite picture is the four Kumaras are... The four Kumaras are congregated around the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, and they are smelling the tulasi that is decorating the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, and they are just in ecstasy. And Lord Vishnu is just embracing, you know, the four Kumaras. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And whenever I smell some tulasi, I always try to remember this particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that how just by one time smelling the tulasi leaves and the saffron and chandan that was offered to the lotus feet of Krishna, that the four Kumaras had a drastic change. And for me personally, it's been 28, 29 years. I've been smelling every day, but no change. And I'm waiting for the day that some change can happen and that we'll be totally be able to, you know, relish the, you know, the aroma, the transcendental aroma coming from the sandalwood and saffron and tulasi offered to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Text 46 goes on to say that how Shukadev Goswami's mind was carried away simply by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. So here there are two special anecdotes. One of the Kumaras, the four Kumaras, who smelt the tulasi leaf and were attracted to Krishna. The other scenario is of Shukadev Goswami, who heard the transcendental pastimes of Krishna and became a Prema Bhakta. So that text 46's statement is verified here by another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, saying that Shukadeva Goswami himself is saying this, that my dear king, although I was fully situated in the transcendental position, I was nonetheless attracted to the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Therefore, I studied Srimad Bhagavatam from my father. And today, being Sri Guru Purnima, I thought it would be very appropriate to read till here, where it is glorifying Srila Vyasadeva. You know, how Vyasadeva, today is actually the appearance day of Vyasadeva. That's why we worship this day as Guru Purnima. It's the start of Chaturmasya. Today is the day that, actually from the Ekadashi previous, that is Shayana Ekadashi. That is the Ekadashi that Lord Vishnu goes to sleep into his Yoga Nidra for the 4 months of the rainy season. And so from today, you know, officially the Chaturmasya starts. And we offer our obeisances to Vyasadeva, who is the original spiritual master. And so here is another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, text 48. It is saying that I offer my respectful obeisances unto Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, and the destroyer of all sinful reactions. Being full in self-realization and bliss, he had no material desire. That was a specific quality of Srila Shukadeva Goswami and of Srila Vyasadeva, and no material desire. Still, he was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And out of compassion for the people, he described the transcendental historical literature called Srimad Bhagavatam. This is compared to the light of the Absolute Truth. Then not only did Shukadeva Goswami first hear it and make his life perfect, but then he started reciting it for the benefit of not only Maharaj Parikshit, but for all the living entities, for all of us. Then the third scenario is explained. The first was the Kumaras, then Shukadeva Goswami, and now a third level of devotees, or category of devotees as being described, that Lord Sri Krishna attracts the minds of all the gopis with his beautiful transcendental bodily features. That the gopis, you know, are so much attracted, helplessly attracted to Krishna and by his transcendental bodily features. Again, here, this statement is substantiated by the next verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is saying that the gopis are telling Krishna. This is when, you know, they came for the rasa dance. And when they saw Krishna, they expressed their heart to him by saying this particular verse. Here they are telling, the gopis are saying to Krishna that, my dear Krishna, we have simply surrendered ourselves as your maid servants, for we have seen your beautiful face decorated with tresses of hair, your earrings falling upon your cheeks, the nectar of your lips, and the beauty of your smile. Indeed, because we have also been embraced by your arms, which gives us courage, and seeing your chest, which is beautiful and broad, we have completely surrendered ourselves. So here, there are various categories that we can see that how devotees in various categories have surrendered themselves. Starting with the four Kumaras, who simply by smelling, surrendered their life. Shukadeva Goswami, by hearing, surrendered his life, became a Prema Bhakta. And the gopis, by seeing, by envisioning Krishna's transcendental body, they became Krishna's sold-out maidservant. So this is Krishna, that he can attract the minds and the, you know, the all of our senses can be attracted by Krishna, because he is Krishna. Akarshayati iti Krishna, that he can attract the minds and the hearts of all living entities. That's why he's called Krishna. So we will end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhamma Pranam. All blessed to Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Maharaj. Happy Gaur Purnima to you, Mataji. Mataji, in the class in the beginning, you said that when we take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take 100 step, 10 steps towards you, right? So when we say that one step, can you more elaborate on that one step, Mataji? Like, what is exactly that we should be doing? Because we do services, we do other things. But what exactly is that one step which Krishna is talking about, Mataji?
Krishna, very, very nice question. May I know who this is?
This is Sita Priti Devi Dasi Prantaji from Dallas.
Hare Krishna, Sita Priti. Wow, I didn't recognize your voice. I'm sorry for that.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, very, very nice question. See, the thing that Krishna is really looking for is our love. Surrender. When we say surrender, you know, there is two kinds of surrenders, you know, like one that they do at the borders, you know, the battlefront, that one side surrenders to the other. But that surrender is out of fear, you know, like someone says, hands up, and we raise our hands and surrender. Yes, I surrender, I surrender. But that surrender is out of fear. But Krishna doesn't, you know, Krishna can do that. You know, some people say that, well, Krishna is God, and we are ignorant that we don't know we are suffering, so why can't Krishna make us love Him? That's a very commonly asked question, that why can't Krishna make us love Him? Well, love cannot be forced. That's a simple reason for it. That love has to come voluntarily. That we have to choose to love Krishna. And we have to surrender ourselves with love. Not out of fear. Not out of thinking that, oh, if I don't do this, then this is what's going to happen. Oh, I better do this. Initially, yes, that is how, you know, spiritual life sometimes works for some devotees. But the ultimate objective is that we need to surrender and we need to start chanting our rounds out of love and not out of obligation. The day that that happens, that when we are chanting our rounds out of love, that not feeling that, yes, I'm not feeling like chanting, but I'm still going to chant, you know, but because it's going to be pleasing Guru and Krishna, that day Krishna is going to take 10 steps towards us. That day or that moment, Krishna will. So our coming to, or telling Krishna that, yes, Krishna, I am ready for you. I choose to recognize you and your presence in my life, and I want you to take control of my life, my dear Krishna. Please come and take charge. That is surrender to Krishna out of love. It's just about how we are accepting the hand of Krishna and how much we want to allow Krishna into our life. It is us who has to allow Krishna into our life. You know, later, one time actually Mother Draupadi, she was asking Krishna, that, Krishna, you know everything, right? You knew that I was, you know, getting, I was going from door to door, I was going to from person to person begging for help. Still, why did you not come at that time only? Why did you wait for me to call you? Why did you do that? Krishna said, of course I'm going to wait for you to call me. If you are going and seeking help from others, if I come, then you will say that I didn't call you, why are you coming? So why should I come unless you call me? I was waiting for you to call me. And as soon as you called, I didn't wait a second. I didn't waste even a moment. I came immediately because I was waiting for you to call me. That was Krishna's response. So Krishna is actually waiting for us to call out to Him. And as soon as we call out to Him, He will come. He will for surely come. Does that answer your question, Sita Priti?
Yes, Mataji, yes. Mataji, and like, please correct if my understanding is wrong. When we say the surrender and our total dependence on Krishna, because this is a material world, every day the scenario is different. So every day the state of mood for us is different. So one day we are completely surrendered to Krishna. One day we are totally into the Maya. And what I think was that this surrendering should be at every moment, and every day should be a new day. And every day is like I am starting fresh new. I cannot take Krishna for granted that yesterday I did this service for you. Now for a whole year you take care of me. I don't know, my experiences this past month have been that every day I have to be in that state that, okay, every day is my new opportunity to serve him, and I without any returns, like not thinking that he is going to help me. And when you think that he is, you do not have any feelings that, okay, I should get this or that. And but in your heart, just you feel, oh, it is this would have been so nice. You know, like Krishna, he fulfills that desire. It has been an amazing month with so many difficulties also for us. But then every day I have to surrender Krishna freshly. This is, I don't know whether it is it right, Mataji? Is it my thinking right?
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. But I would actually, my thinking is one step ahead maybe, or maybe one step below you, is that for me it's not a daily thing, it's a moment by moment.
Right.
I have to choose to surrender to Krishna every moment of my life. You know, that just because I got up in the morning and I chanted my rounds, then the rest of the 22 hours I can do whatever I want. That's not what it is. That I have to choose to surrender to Krishna every moment of every day of my life. So it's not just a daily thing that we need to remind ourselves. It's a moment-by-moment thing that we need to actually choose to surrender to Krishna. A very good point. Very good point.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam, Mataji. This is Suresh Vasham from Charlotte, Mataji. One question, Mataji. Here. Hare Krishna. Mataji, here we are talking about the qualities of Krishna, right, Mataji, the gunas. So when this Kumara's thing is mentioned here, what quality of Krishna is being highlighted, Mataji? And then one other question is, like, the Kumara, we understand that they are kind of impersonalists, right? So why are they near the deities where the smell of the tulsi leaves is being the smell of tulsi leaves is there. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Mataji.
So, what quality of Krishna attracted the Kumaras is what you're asking, was your first question. That the quality of Krishna's, that every limb of Krishna's body is transcendental, that even that the tulasi that is offered to the lotus feet of Krishna is actually transcendental. So that is the quality that attracted the Kumaras, the four Kumaras. And the reason why the Kumaras actually had gone to Vaikuntha, that they are, of course, they were impersonalists before, but even though they are impersonalists, they are very powerful yogis. They were very powerful yogis. And even yogis, they have the opportunity to even just go and visit Vaikuntha, not probably stay there, but even visit Vaikuntha. It is allowed for them. They can choose to do so if they want to. They can choose to. So for Kumaras, because of their yogic capacity, they actually were wanting to enter into Vaikuntha. And at that time, they were stopped by Jaya and Vijaya. That, oh, who are you, four kids? That without any clothes, you're just babies. Go away from here, four-year-olds. You're qualified to come inside Vaikuntha. We don't have any authority. We don't have any permission that, you know, anyone has recommended you. Nobody. So we can't allow you to come. And that's when the four Kumaras, because of their yogic, bala that they had, the strength of their yogic performance that they had, they actually cursed Jaya and Vijaya. That you are acting like demons, go and take birth in the material world as demons. So that was the curse. And at that moment, as soon as that curse came out of the mouth of the four Kumaras, at that very moment, Lord Vishnu came out at the door of Vaikuntha. And, you know, he transformed that particular curse. And he said, okay, not for all eternity that you have to go, but just for three lifetimes you can go and become demons. So that's how that happened. But then the four Kumaras were invited by Ira, and as soon as the four Kumaras, you know, saw this personality coming, you know, the first thing, because they're babies, right? They're little kids. I will be sending the picture soon into the group. You can see it. That, you know, when you are a certain height, you see at that certain height. So Lord Vishnu is really tall. So the first thing that captivated their attention was the beautifully decorated lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, which is adorned by Tulasi leaf. And smelling that, you know, beautiful aroma, they became helplessly attracted and became loving devotees of Krishna. So that is how the entire thing happened. Does that answer your question, Prabhu?
Yeah, yes, Mataji. Yes, Mataji. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Kulasuta Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. I have this question about this Kumaras. So the Lord came out from the Vaikuntha,
mm-hmm.
but they were not invited in, they couldn't go in the Vaikuntha?
No, as soon as they saw Lord Vishnu, they actually just walked in with Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu had come to get them, yes.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was wondering. Thank you.
No, they went in. They went in with Lord Vishnu, yes.
Okay. Very nice, Mataji. We'll be also hearing you singing one of the verse of the Gopi Gita. By Vrinda Gopika Mataji.
Koti koti pranam, very nectarine class. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Swami ki jai. Please sing whatever you want to sing, Mataji, from Gopi Gita.
Sure, I definitely will. Definitely. Is there any more questions?
Mataji, one query. Like when we have read the Brahma Samhita, that time also glorification of the Lord is been given. So what is the, how would we differentiate, Mataji, this glorification of the Lord and the Brahma Samhita?
See, every glorification of the Lord has different, mood, it has different meaning, it has different prayer, but all of them are prayers. You know, so yes, I was not clear on the question. If you can just clearly explain your question one more time, but every prayer is different, and reciting them, you know, gives us benefits that are, of course, immeasurable, but yeah.
Like Brahma Samhita is normally when we are doing the deity worship, specifically mm-hmm. at the temple, during the Abhishek, the Brahma Samhita is being, they recite the Brahma Samhita during the Abhishek. So, is there any significance, special significance that is done?
That has been spoken by Narada. See, whatever deity worship standards that we are following in ISKCON today, that has been established by Srila Prabhupada from the Narada Bhakti Sutras, Narada Pancharaktas. You know, the verdicts that are being given by Narad Muni. So Narad Muni is the one who says that while doing Abhishek, we should sing the Brahma Samhita. So we sing the Brahma Samhita.
Okay, Mataji. Okay.
That's the reason we do that. Yeah?
Yeah, got it, Mataji. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I was just wondering if you've ever heard this thing about the four Kumaras that I heard in, I don't know, some lecture recently. I don't even remember where I heard it, but I heard that the four Kumaras, although they had the bodies of children, they weren't like actually children. They just wanted to keep that form, to keep from getting entangled in the material world. Have you heard that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. They did not want to grow up beyond 4 years of age because they did not want to get entangled in the complexities of, you know, when people grow up, there's a lot of complexities. But when children, they can keep things very simple and, you know, pure. So that's why.
Mm-hmm. And I guess they must have had some, I don't know, yogic abilities to be able to accomplish
Absolutely.
Okay, Mataji, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All right, any more questions? So I just sent the picture of the four Kumaras smelling the tulasi at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. You can see them. It's an amazing picture. It's my personal favorite one. Okay, so is there any more questions? All right. So we'll just honor the request of Vrinda Gopika Mataji and Komudiki Mataji. I will just I'll just recite the second verse of Sri Gopi Geet, where it is very similar to what the gopis are saying here in the 50th verse. What they are saying is, this is something very similar in the second verse of the Gopi Geet that they are saying. The translation is, O Lord of love, in beauty, your glance excels the world of the finest, most perfectly formed lotus within the autumn pond. O bestower of benedictions, you are killing the maid servants who have given themselves to you freely without any price. Isn't this murder, our beloved Lord? Sharadudashaye sadhu jatasa sarasi jodara Shri Mushadrisha Suratanatha De Ashoka Dasika Varada Nigdaka Neha Kimvadha. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Shri Gopi Geeta ki jai, Mata ji ki jai.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For your very enlightening class today, and we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in the future. If nobody has any question or comment, we can end the call here. One jaka patar jyasya. Kripasindhu Devita Patitanam Pavanejo Vaishnavejo Namo Namah.